Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. We're going to be looking at a very, very important theological, biblical subject today that is not only theologically sound and biblically necessary, but it also covers every aspect of life and living. It is the tools out of the toolbox of the Word of God that will allow Christians, believers, pastors, those that have said yes to Jesus Christ, to ascertain what is taking place in society today and how we should rightly respond to some of these issues. We're talking about a biblical worldview, and that biblical worldview includes having a sense of discernment, and that is wisdom from God that will allow us to take the knowledge that God gives us and with God's wisdom be able to discern what is right, what is wrong, and exactly how we should respond to the issues that are facing us in society today. I don't know of anything any more important than we can talk about today than discernment. Have with me on the set today Pastor Glenn Davis. Brother Davis is pastoring up in Georgia. I believe it's right there in the Folkestone area. We're always delighted to have him on board with us as we discuss some of these issues. Pastor Davis, delighted to have you with us today.
Amen. Praise God for you.
I am thankful for this privilege and the opportunity we have to look at the issues that we're faced with today in America, and the media and the hype that's coming out of the media that is the focus of, in fact, they're the talking heads for, as I call it, that loose, likes, lost world system that is part of the socialist, Marxist, BLM, democratic mindset today. And I don't know any other way, Pastor Davis, to express it other than saying that as Christians, we should not allow ourselves to be put in position of simply believing everything that's said to us on the air by the politicians and by the media.
Amen. Amen. And you know, Dr. Youngblood, I would just like to say, from the different things that we are seeing in the media right now, there's so much ambiguous stuff. Stuff that's just, they're covering up so much stuff. And it's really deceiving a lot of people. And it's got them in a state of confusion, in a state of mind to where they actually don't know what to believe.
Yes.
So we, as Christians on today, we have to trust in the Word of God.
Amen.
He is the only right thing we got left in this wrong
that's
world.
That's right. And if we, if we get that wrong, we're in trouble.
Amen.
So when we talk about discernment and the need for that, let's set the stage. First of all, we need to do a little housekeeping, as I call it. And let me remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the truth book. I've said that so many times down through the years. It's the book of truth. That's the Word of God. It's not a book where you find some truth, the partial truth, or little truth. It is from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation. It is the source book of truth, especially for the Christian today. The only way we'll know how to act and how to respond and what to do and what to say yes on and what to say no on is from the truth book. It's the Word of God. And Jesus says to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's his statement to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then Jesus makes a very dogmatic statement. In fact, some have said that Jesus Christ is narrow-minded. Yes, he was. He is today. In fact, John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. That's pretty narrow. And yet it is very clear that Jesus then says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God that ought to count from now and through eternity, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
It was George Orwell a number of years ago that, and George Orwell, by the way, is not a favorite person of mine from the standpoint of theological, doctrinal, biblical truth, but some of the things that he said was very, very factual, and we found to be very evidently truthful today. George Orwell said many years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, you can take yourself or any other Christian or conservative and look out in society today and face some of the enemies and some of the things that the enemy is saying in relationship to a perversion of truth. And once you stand up and deny it, challenge it, say something about it, all of a sudden you're the bad guy. It is viewed that we should simply morph into the most prominent statements and feelings in society today.
Amen.
But it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made the statement that I have so enjoyed down through the years and appreciated in his statement. Now, that doesn't mean that I agree with everything that Jan Hus said theologically and doctrinally, but I am telling you that this statement is one of my favorites. He said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Now, I pray that that has had an influence in your life if you listen to this broadcast each day, and I pray that you do. But as we listen to the issues that we deal with day by day, I'm coming to us from a central biblical worldview. And as simple as someone asked one, on one occasion, are you an Arminianist or are you a Calvinist? I said, neither. He said, well, what are you? I said, a central biblicist. Will that do? And I don't understand some that will thrive on, go by, and simply follow the dogma and the dogmatic thoughts and the theological positions of some of the old historians or the old writers. Some of the thoughts and thinkings are good, but I'd rather stick to the revealed Word of God. What does the Scripture say in context, and how should it apply in our lives? And that's seeking the truth, learning the truth, telling the truth, listening to the truth, loving the truth, and living the truth, and defending the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, if I can tuck this little thought in, I believe that before we see the rapture of the church take place, we as Christians will find ourselves in a society where we are despised, we're hated, demonized, and dissed, as the world calls it, simply because of being Christians. We need to understand the society in which we're living in today. We need to recognize the lies and the dissension that's being perpetrated upon society. And Christians of all people should know how to say no to what society is saying that we ought to believe and adhere to. And keep in mind, with a subject that broad, it would take two or three broadcasts of the length of time that we have daily to literally cover it in a fashion that will be beneficial to the nth degree. But we're going to be talking about it today. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about landscape equipment and the power generation backup equipment for the hurricane preparedness season. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the gigantic flag, U.S. flag flowing. It's on a flagpole about 165 feet there. The Tools for Time flag flying. Find that flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you and reiterate the thoughts. And by the way, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to our studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your dialogue and your discussion and answer your questions. And I pray that you will tune in each day and find it edifying, beneficial, and challenging for we as Christians in particular. Ladies and gentlemen, how do we handle the different voices? How do we handle the different voices that's coming to us 24/7? You can turn on television 24/7. You can turn on radio and listen to news 24/7 and the internet with the news 24/7. And you will have just about as many voices and the different iterations of what they think that we need to understand and respond to. Voices, the news releases, the thousands and thousands of so-called facts that we're being fed each day. And how about the issues of society that we're faced with even now? There's two basic things, Pastor Davis, that I want us to touch on, that I want our listeners to understand. two basic things. Now, there are thousands and thousands of issues that's taking place simultaneously. There are two major issues that I see, and they're very much intertwined. And one of them is the Black Lives Matter, BLM. It has nothing, zip, zero, not a nothing, to do anything to do with skin color. Nothing to do with race. It is simply a tool of the Marxist agenda to divide and to destroy the United States of America. It is to eviscerate our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And so that's number one. What are we to believe about what we're hearing, what we're watching, what we're seeing? If it will be understood by the loose, likes, lost, fake, phony, false, socialist network news, if we're based on what they're telling us, they would have us to believe that we ought not to believe our eyes as we watch on television as the thugs in the street burn buildings, vandalize buildings, and commit murder and the arson and still call it a peaceful demonstration.
Amen.
Now, Pastor Davis, I believe in our Bill of Rights that we have the right to peacefully assemble, to peacefully demonstrate. But listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, when that was taking place in Virginia, outside of the Capitol in Virginia, and they had a lot of people there that were peacefully demonstrating, the leadership there, the socialist Marxist governor there, that believes that we ought to take away weapons from every citizen, that believes that somehow, some way, it is okay to have a pot shop open, an abortion clinic open, and a liquor store open, but you can't have a church open, et cetera, et cetera. But when multitudes of Americans, many of them armed openly, which is the right that we have as citizens, when they mounted that peaceful demonstration around the Capitol in Virginia and in other states when they did the same thing, all of a sudden it was a disturbance, a distress, and it should be broken up. But when you have the Black Lives Matter, that is the Marxist thugs, when you have the other Marxist thugs called Antifa, when you have those in the streets doing all of their battering of police officers, burning of buildings, et cetera, it is simply a peaceful demonstration. So the point that I make with that, ladies and gentlemen, is should we believe that it's just peaceful demonstration, or are we to ask questions as Christians and not just believe what we're told and what we see as fact? From a biblical worldview, should we have discernment to make that decision?
Amen.
And the second issue, ladies and gentlemen, that we're dealing with today is not only the BLM, the Black Lives Matter lie that's being perpetrated upon multitudes, but also the COVID-19, what is called the coronavirus. We're being told things that I would never have believed that American citizens would have bought into and would have blindly accepted as being okay because the government says it. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Good day, everyone. This is Deacon Hubbard.
That's my friend. Praise
Amen.
God.
Yes.
Go ahead, Brother Hubbard, with your question or comment.
Yes. I just want to, you know, because, you know, I'm all about love and peace and drawing the Christians together. And, you know, when different events come, we all supposed to pray.
Amen.
Instead of, you know, shooting people down. And yes, right. The black lives do matter, because by me being a black man, I know the struggle that we went through and our forefathers, and it's a lot of peaceful demonstrators. And it's a lot of people that's not peaceful.
Yes.
And, you know, in the word, you know, it say like, you know, let the we and tare grow together. And at the end, he'll do the separating. We can't, you know, sit up here and say this or say that about different ones. All we could do is just live the life in front of them. If they don't want to accept it, you know, that's on them. All we got to do is just keep, you know, walking in the word and let the Lord light shine on us so people could see his goodness through us.
And, Amen.
You know, we hear about, you know, we'll see, you know, about, you know, homosexuality and abortion and whatnot. And, you know, and a lot of people want to say, you know, it's all because of like Democrats or whatever. You got good people on both sides. You got good Democrats and you got bad Democrats. You got good Republicans and you got bad Republicans. And the thing
goes back to the heart of man Scripture says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart of man is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? So it's the heart of the issue. It's the heart of the person. One of the things, if I can jump in and say this, and I'm thankful for your call, by the way, let me say this. One of the things that ought to be viewed by every Christian in particular is not whether the name is R or D after the name, Republican or Democrat. It ought to be on the basis of that individual's heart and how he stands on biblical truth. For example, it's an impossibility for a heart to be right before God and believe that it's all right to murder a human being in the mother's womb. It's an impossibility for the heart to be right, biblically speaking, before God if the individual believes that somehow, some way, it is okay to have a sodomite marriage when it's antithetical to the truth. It's against the Word of God when we take the Word of God and simply say that that doesn't count because it's in the political realm. In the political realm, we so often look at the politics of it rather than looking at the purity of it and the holiness of it based on what the Word of God says. And that will always guide us in the right direction, is examining every candidate. And we're at the level now in this election on November the 3rd that I believe that it's going to be the most discerning, differentiating vote in the history of America. And I believe that it's going to make the difference whether we have a Marxist socialist party that leads the nation, or we're going to have a party that says we're going to stand on the Word of God. That doesn't mean that the present leader is a saint. That's not what I'm saying. In fact, we've not had a saint in the White House in my lifetime that I know of. The only one that was perfect was Jesus Christ. But we need to understand that there's a need, just as you said, and I'm in full affirmation of that. It needs to be that our lives are lived before the world, that the world sees our relationship to Jesus Christ, and they understand that that is the point of demarcation in our lives. Pastor Amen. Davis, what do you say to that?
Well, let me just say here from the standpoint, like the brother was saying, about being a black person, we understand, you know, the different things that has happened down through the years,
yes,
and even right now that are continuing,
yes,
to happen to people of color.
Right.
But first and foremost, Dr. Youngblood, I think it's important for all of us as Christians, we have to identify who we belong to.
That's right.
Who are we connected with, mm-hmm, first and foremost, now that you have been born again into the family of God?
Yes.
Because you will never see anywhere in the scripture where God would say in his word, a black Christian ought to do this, a white Christian ought to do this, the black church ought to do this, the white church ought to do this. He addresses us all, first of all, as children.
Children of God.
So we have to know that first and foremost, regardless of your skin color, the number one thing you have to be able to identify with is first and foremost being a Christian.
Yes.
So when I speak with people about issues concerning people of color, first, I always tell them off the bat so that I won't get myself involved emotionally,
yeah,
with things that get connected with people of color. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, I am a Christian first.
Amen.
Then I am a black man.
Yes.
Okay. Let's make sure we keep those two separated. Amen. Because we owe our allegiance to God now. He's the one that's in control of our lives. And if we are living to please him and all the things that we are doing, then we have to do it as Christians first.
Yes.
We can't take the outlook that the world has, because we know and understand that Satan is ruling this world
That's
system.
Right.
And his one of his main ploys is to divide and to conquer.
Yes.
And he uses all kind of different methods. So we can find ourselves sometimes getting caught up by emotions because, mm-hmm, we have five senses, Dr. Youngblood. And from what I've been told, by experience too, mm-hmm, all five of these senses can fool you.
Yes.
Sometimes you see things you think you see, but you don't really see it.
Right.
Sometimes you smell something. I've been way out sometimes in the woods, you know, doing things, and I smelled fried chicken, but there was not a restaurant within 50 miles of where I was at in the woods.
Your stomach was saying smell chicken.
Right. But here it is. My senses, you know, it actually fooled me. Mm-hmm. So we have to know and understand now, this is what the devil is doing. He's trying to appeal to us, and he will do it to Christians. If you will let yourself be deceived, he will appeal to your natural senses.
Yes.
Now, here's what I was doing this morning. I was reading down through the Word of God, and I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's a verse of scripture in there I like to stick to all the time because it helps me to keep my focus. It says in here that the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit.
That's right.
For they are foolishness unto him. Mm-hmm. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
That's right.
That's going in the direction that we're trying to, you know, bring about, you know, what we want to say on this broadcast on the day. We have to use discernment, spiritual discernment, in order to understand the thing that's going on in the world today and weigh these things out and try them through the Word of God to see whether there's any good in that for us as Christians.
Absolutely.
First, number one, because, yeah, we can all identify with things that happen to different races of people.
Yes.
That's very true. Mm-hmm. But then as a Christian, don't get yourself caught up emotionally.
That's right.
So far to where it's pulling you away from what God would have you to do as a Christian. Because then, like the brother said, you can live the life before people and let them see your good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven, if you're doing first what a Christian should be doing.
Absolutely.
Amen.
I believe our caller is back on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, and let me ask you this. What we have said, is that sound reasonable to your thinking, or do you have other questions or comments in relationship to that?
Well, I just want to add, I don't want anyone to, I guess take it the wrong way, because, you know, I am a Christian, and
amen.
And the Lord hates sin.
Yes.
And I'm a part of him, and so do I.
Amen.
And, you know, and like, it's the two greatest commandments that Jesus said. First of all, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And by us being, you know, Christ-like, we got to encourage, you know, like, say, like, for instance, like I was going to say about, you know, homosexuality and abortion and whatnot. You know, we just got to live the life in front of them. Who knows? Maybe one day they'll change their mind and they'll, you know, they'll turn to the Lord. And that's why I was saying about, you know, if they don't want to hear, you know, we just, you know, like how the wheat and tares grow together. And at the end, he do the separate, not us. You know, we just got to live the life in front of them. And, you know, and it's like, you know, like how I say, you know, and we saying today, even, you know, our leaders, you know, how I say about, you know, it's six things that the Lord hates, and seven are abomination unto him. And one of them, you know, is pride. And, you know, we find, you know, leadership, you know, they all about pride. And the Lord said, you know, a man that exalts himself, you know, will be brought down to a base. And, you know, it's not about, you know, getting emotions. It's about, you know, what say the Lord. We got to love, you know. And I'm going to tell you, I have relatives that's, you know, homosexual, but we got to love them. And maybe by our love, like the Lord, you know, show, maybe we could change them. You know, they just,
well, one of the things, if I can jump in and add a thought to that, one of the things the Scripture commands us to do is to speak the truth in love, speaking the truth in love. And, you know, yourself as a Christian, we can stand on the Word of God and speak the truth of the Word of God, and we can do so because we love the person. That doesn't mean that we're going to be received and or accepted and or we'll have accolades for standing on the truth. We need to speak the truth in love. And the only way that is possible is to know the truth. And the only thing that is truth is the Word of God. Thy Word is truth, Jesus said in John 17:17. So you're exactly right. And we need to do so, though, based on the knowledge of the Word of God and speaking the truth in love. And at the same time, being willing to confront sin, confront evil, and to take a stand. Jesus spoke the truth, and he did so in love. But he was highly confrontive in his standing against evil and for good, and pointing out what we should do as Christians in our lives today, and loving him. But, brother, I am thankful for your call. I'm thankful for your stand, thankful for your witness for Jesus Christ. All I can say is keep on keeping on, loving the Lord, serving the Lord, honoring him, speaking the truth in love. Thank you so much for your call today.
Amen.
Brother Davis, one of the things that we think of when I'm thinking about discernment and what we need to do in having discernment is very much like our caller just talked about, is knowing what is right and what is wrong and standing for that truth and doing so. We're told, by the way, that the lockdown was necessary. We were told that by our governmental leaders. We were told that some 2.2 million people are going to die if we did not do the total lockdown of the United States of America. We were told that churches had to be shut down. In fact, across America, most pastors, Christians, are not aware today that thousands, let me repeat that, ladies and gentlemen, thousands of churches are still closed.
Amen.
In fact, Andy Stanley in Atlanta has churches been closed for 2 months and said that they're going to remain closed until next January. Now, what they're discovering across America is multitudes of the mid-sized and the smaller churches may never reopen,
Amen.
Simply because of numbers. I know of a church up in Tennessee that they're averaging about 250, 300 on Sunday. They were closed for about 2 months. They've just tried to start reopening, and they're doing good to have 50 to 75 people in church. And now with the new fear, the new panic that's being pushed by the governmental leadership, and especially when it comes out of what I call those wearing white jackets, those that are supposed to be the medical experts, they're telling us, Dr. Fauci and others, telling us maybe we need to shut down again. And I don't know how we can expect to sustain our nation if we stay shut down. In fact, if I can just touch on this little thought with that, most have not considered it, this fact that we've already invested about $6 trillion in, I call it giveaway money, to try to sustain Americans because of the shutdown. They're talking about now another $3 trillion. The total annual income for the United States federal government, the total annual income is right about $4 trillion a year.
Amen.
We have already expended the equivalent of about 2 years of full revenue coming in from the tax base for the federal government. What we're doing today, ladies and gentlemen, we're spending fiat dollars. That is simply money that's being printed by the printing press that has zip, zero, no value, no background as far as it's sustaining the United States government and or the Treasury as we see that taking place. So I'm fearful of where we're going. Not fearful in the fact that I'm wondering, Lord, what's going to happen, because ultimately we must understand, Pastor Davis, is the fact that God is superior, God is supreme, God is in control, and God already has it figured out. We don't.
Amen.
But the point we're making is today, ladies and gentlemen, the need for Christian discernment and to recognize what is right and what is wrong. And the only way that is possible is through the Word of God. In fact, here's an article, about a 10-page article, and I'm just going to touch on about two or three brief paragraphs. It says, COVID-19, Lies and More Damnable Lies. That's the title. And it says, what's been done and still being done in America, the American people, over the COVID virus outbreak is obscene. It's almost beyond words. The American people have been beaten into the ground and propaganda spewed by Dr. Anthony Fauci, also by Bernie Madoff of the Science of the World for the past 5 months. While Fauci has become a household name, Dr. Judy Merkovitz hasn't. Further, says Dr. Merkovitz, for example, her reputation has been shredded. She was persecuted by our government and even arrested. No charges were ever filed, and she was ultimately released. But we all know what that can do to a person's reputation, credibility, and career. For example, this particular doctor that they're speaking of here had gone through this, she outlines the full overview of all that has been said, all that's been presented to the American public, and how each and every case has been built upon lies.
Amen.
Lies. And as a result of that, especially dealing with COVID-19, and as a result of that, she's been persecuted because her voice was not to be heard. And so the question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered, and I'm prayerful that you will hear me well and that you will make the discernment and the response that would be pleasing to the Lord, is how do we believe? What are we to believe? For example, coming down the pike pretty soon will be a so-called vaccine. And they will say that everybody must be vaccinated. And yet they're already talking about there's a lot of, as they're calling, anti-vaxxers in society today that says we're not going to be vaccinated. How do you determine that when that comes down the pike? As a Christian, as a pastor, as a Christian, as a conservative, as a believer, how are you to make the decision or whether you should allow them to, as one writer put it, stab you in the arm and insert in your body chemicals that we have no idea what's going to do to us in the present or the future. So we need to have discernment. That's what I'm wanting us to understand today, is the word discernment and how does it relate to the Christian and what does the Bible say in relationship to the Christian's need for discernment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're talking about discernment today for the Christian in the face of all of the issues that we're faced with.
Visit conservative.edu.